Now we're going to look at the readings, or some of them, from this feast of the solemnity of the body and blood of the Lord. The first reading is from Deuteronomy 8. And as very often the liturgical editors edit the text so it isn't too long. Sometimes I wish they just gave us the whole text. But anyway, so we're going to do verses 2 and 3 and then 14 and 16. And it's Moses' speech. All of the book of Deuteronomy is Moses' speech as he is standing on the mountain looking over the Jordan and all of the promised land, which he was not allowed to enter because of that what happened at Meribah when he got mad. And he was punished. He never got in. So here, the book of Deuteronomy is placed there. It's a later work. Summing up, Deuteronomy means Deuteros Nomos, the second Nomos, the second law. It sums up the first four books. But it's all, this time, put as a speech of Moses. It's a very beautiful book, too. It's the St. John of the Old Testament, in a way. And the accent is on love. All right. So, we're going to look at the text as the liturgy has it for us this week. Moses said to the people, "Remember how for 40 years now the Lord your God has directed all your journeyings in the desert so as to test you by affliction, to find out whether or not it was your intention to keep his commandments." Now, the whole, of course, he put you to the test so that he could see what was in your heart, huh? I don't know why they didn't. Well, all right. The Levavacha. Hatishmor? The commandments or not? Oh, I see. They translated it. What was your intention? Okay. That's what we'll hear this Sunday. The text is much more biblical, if you don't mind my expression. He wants to see, Ladad et Asher. What was in your heart? That's much deeper, isn't it? Huh? He wants to see what's really going on in your heart. He knows already. But he wants it to be manifest to you as well as to him. Are you going to stick with him when things get tough or not? Are you going to trust him when he leads you through the desert or not? Now, we can tell him, "Lord, I sure want to do that. I want to be trusting you as you lead me through the desert. But you better help me." St. Philip Neri said very often to the Lord, we just had his feast the other day, "Lord, keep your hand on Philip today, or Philip will betray you." That's a saint. We're so dumb, so stupid, so changeable. So the Lord wants to solidify our hearts, you see? Therefore, he let you be afflicted with hunger, and then fed you with manna, a food unknown to you and your fathers. He fed you with manna. Why? Well, he's going to tell us in the next line, but you see, this is what? This is a foreshadowing. This is a sign of what I'm going to do forever. I'm going to feed my people with bread forever. Their whole march through this world is a march through the desert. And even when I come myself and bring that up to another level, and the Red Sea becomes baptism, and the manna becomes my body and blood. And so this text is showing us, you see, so it says, you see, what you've got in your heart, all right? in order to show you that it is not by bread alone that one lives, but by every word that comes forth from the mouth of God. Now, do you see the logic? He gave you manna so that you'd understand that it's not by bread alone that you live. You'd think, if you want him to find that out, you don't give him bread. Let him be and find out, well, I didn't die yet. I mean, instead, I'll give you the bread. Now, but it's not the bread that keeps you alive. If you go out into the desert in these days and you pick up that manna and you look up at God and you know where this comes from, then you are in union with God. Then it's really food for you. Not just food for your body. It's food for you. And that's what the manna was. It wasn't the body and blood of the Lord, no. But it wasn't just something to eat in the desert. It was a contact with God. You know, to pick up that manna, look up to heaven and say, thank you, God. Now, what's more important, the manna or the prayer? You see what God's trying to tell us? You see, I'll give you that bread, and if you're smart with it, you'll understand that, you see, it's not by lechem alone that man lives, ki a kol mutza, literally, everything, well, words, so they translate it word, from the mouth of the Lord. Huh? That's important. You know how important it is that the Lord speak to us? The word of the Lord is bread. That would be the whole when we get to the gospel. You see, Jesus says, I'll give you bread. I'll give you myself because I am the word of God. And so, then the text goes on. That's the key part for our feast day. But the text goes on. Do not forget, huh, the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, that place of slavery, who guided you through the vast and terrible desert with its seraph serpents and scorpions, its parched and waterless grounds, who brought forth water for you from the flinty rock and fed you in the desert with manna, a food unknown to your fathers. Now, of course, you know how powerful this whole tradition is still among the Jewish people. But what is the point that he's trying to make to us, you see? Do you realize that I'm taking care of you? You know, there used to be the Indians way up in the Yukon Territory, and they were pagan. And when they picked berries, they said a prayer with every berry. They have big bushes of berries right there in the Yukon, and they ate them and lived, you know, part of their, big part of their diet. And as they picked each berry, they said a prayer of thanksgiving to God as they understood him. And so he's saying, you see, don't forget. Now, what does forget mean? This is a powerful word. When you get this like this, don't forget. See, the word is shakach. Let's go the other way first. Remember. What does it mean to remember? To remember means to have what God has done for you so present to your heart and mind that you're grateful. That's to remember. To forget is to not have what God did for you present to you. And that's why he says to the people, Shakachta, you forgot. What do you mean I forgot? I can recite the whole creed. That's not remembering. Remember is to have it so present to you that you're different. That's to remember. Now, we pray to God how many times and say, remember Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. What are we saying to God? Don't look at us. Look at them, and then be good to us. It's a powerful word, this idea of remembering. biblically, huh? Very important. Right? Do this in memory of me. At the liturgy, therefore, to have what God has done for us in his beloved Son, Jesus Christ, has to be present to us. Do this, what? This consecration. Do this in memory of me. Just don't stand there forgetting. Let this be present to you. And so it's a very powerful word and a very important word to be aware of. Now, that's the preparation for the Eucharist. Huh? Remember what I did. Do this in memory of me. Now, we'll take a quick look at some of the verses in Psalm 147. Psalm 147 is the next psalm before the three big Hallel psalms, 148, 149, and 150, that end the Psalter, they end the Passover meal. 147 is like it, you see? And it says there, Jerusalem, glorify your God. Glorify Adonai your God. For he has strengthened the bars of your gates. He has blessed the children in you. Now do you see all the theme of remembrance which becomes alive at the Eucharist? You see, this psalm is meant to prepare us for when we celebrate the Eucharist in a few minutes. You see, he has granted peace in your borders, and he's fed you with the best of wheat. What's the best of wheat? The body of the Lord. He's fed you with that. He sends forth his command to the earth and swiftly runs his word. So now we have, he feeds us on the best bread in the world. And then he goes on to say, the psalmist, you see, he has proclaimed his word to Jacob. Not in bread alone does man live, but in every word. And when the word is bread, then the bread is word. And we live by that. You know, after we receive communion, to just say, speak, Lord. Talk to me. I know a friend of mine who used to do that every day, go back to her place and say, are you there, Jesus? And one day she heard, are you there, Anne? And that was a turning point in her life. You see? And so, he has not done this for any other nation. What a privilege to be a Christian and to be a Catholic and know this tradition. Know that it's not, you see, by just regular bread that we live. We live from the Word of God. And the Word of God is in the Holy Scripture and it's in the Eucharist. These are the two tables of the Lord. And as Verbum Domini says at the very end, the Church has always given the same reverence and adoration and to the Word and the Eucharist, both. And so this psalm is meant to prepare us to understand the readings that are going to follow.